Yesterday marked the 117th birthday of Dorothy Day. Now, Dorothy Day passed away in 1980, but in her many years, she served God's people as an advocate to those who were voiceless, to the poor, to the struggling workers. Now, Dorothy came from a fairly secular family, and her parents really weren't churchgoers. Dorothy once in a while would go to church with maybe a friend or down the street. I think for a brief while, she even went to an Episcopal church. But for the most part, religion didn't play a big part of her early life. And when she became an adult, she was really a very outspoken young woman for those times, because at the turn of the century, she was already fighting for women's right to vote. She was already trying to face down landlords of slums and the tenements of New York. But some things changed her life, and she took off and spent some time living on a beach where she started witnessing, this nun going out every day, gathering up anything from clams and going to the green markets to get to the cast off leftover food and such. And she started watching this nun, and she was Dorothy at the time was really in a dark period of her own life, and she started following this nun back, and she found out that the sister was preparing soup on a daily basis for the very poor. Nowadays when we think of beachfront, we think of people who are well off. It used to be that it was the people who had nothing were forced to live on the beach, which is always sort of that ironic. One time they used to, send poor people out to the beach because it was always getting flooded. And now rich people build big houses and then they wonder why they're always getting washed away. But anyway, so the poor would go out to the beach, they would live, and the nun would take care of them. Dorothy started, becoming more and more interested, and she started talking to the nun, and then she eventually was baptized a Catholic along with her infant daughter. This created ripples because she was hanging out with a young crowd of intellectuals who were beyond God, and that early phase of agnosticism that hit the country. They didn't think that, the great speakers who really didn't seem to, want to be along with the proletariat, the ones who basically stood out there and talked about the need of supporting the proletariat, but never actually did any work. And those people just sort of started turning their backs to her, but she returned to the city and she started doing what she could, working part-time and living with her brother and sister-in-law, starting to helped some of the poor, and then she had a visit from a man called Peter Morin, who was this crazy Frenchman who has traveled all over, and he showed up, became her mentor and her friend. They created what still goes on as the Catholic Worker Movement, which has offices and houses still across the country. And throughout the rest of her life, she spent it making sure that the poor got fed, standing up for farm laborers, getting thrown in jail like every other week. the woman who was her 80 and still was getting thrown into jail for protesting. And she just continued to do whatever she could to help those in need. And every once in a while, people would try to talk about how wonderful she was. And one of my favorite responses she had when somebody referred to her as a saint, and she told them not to call her a saint because she wouldn't want to be dismissed that easily. That idea that when we start calling somebody a saint, it's our excuse for not being able to do something. We sit there and say, well, that person has a special gift. And Dorothy was not going to have any of it because she realized that each and every one of us could do our parts for our sister and brothers. That we had to feed those who were in need, not only their stomachs, but also their hearts and souls. Now, in today's gospel, Jesus is starting to prepare his disciples for his eventual, leaving. And he's also starting to tell them about the things that are supposed to come. This is referred to in Mark's gospel. There's like five different discourses, about five different times when Jesus is teaching. And this is the fifth and last one. Some people say because Matthew was writing to more of a Hebrew audience, he was trying to match the Torah, which has five books. And so in Matthew's gospel, you have the five different discourses. And this is his final one. And he's talking to them about the things that are supposed to come. You know, the things that are supposed to happen after Jesus goes on. You know, what we often refer to as the second coming. And he's trying to remind them that we don't know when that's going to happen. Now, y'all remember a few years ago, not that many years ago, when Harold Camping was busy, you know, was about 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago, when Harold Camping had all the world in the tizzy because he was telling us that the world was going to end, what was it, in April, whatever it was. Then it didn't happen. Then he said, oh, I read wrong. It was supposed to be October. And I always find people like that amazing because, you know, Harold Camping is not a young man. And the funny thing is when he was wrong on the date, I'm not sure why everybody was surprised, because Harold Camping has had about a 50-year history of telling people when the world was going to end and it not happening. They always seem to forget that Jesus tells us that we aren't going to know exactly when it's going to happen. That's why we always have to be prepared. And so he's telling this parable about the bridesmaids, which are, of course, us, the church, the members. And he's also referring to himself as the bridegroom. You know, Jesus, he's coming again. And he talks about how half the bridesmaids were foolish, the other half were wise, because they brought extra oil for their lamps. Now, there's a lot of different stuff that's out there about the significance and the metaphorical meaning of the oil. But I was reading one commentary, which I really liked, which just basically says that sometimes oil is just oil. That what the point is, isn't what the oil itself is a metaphorical meaning behind it, is that what it means is that these people were prepared. They were ready for when the bridegroom came, and the other half were caught without, you know, they weren't ready. And we're told that those who weren't ready had to run around, and by the time they got back, it was too late. The feast had already begun, the doors were closed, and the bridegroom looked out and said, I don't know even who you are. Now, we as Christians are called to be prepared, to realize that Jesus may not come for another 1,000, 2,000 years, or he may come this afternoon. We as Christians are called not to try to guess when he's going to come and return and bring with him, ushering this the new kingdom of heaven, but to continue to build on the kingdom of heaven from our side. With Christ, as St. Paul often talks about, the kingdom of heaven begins. And with his ascension, one of the tasks Jesus left us with is to continue on our end to build towards heaven, to continue the work of the kingdom. And we continue that work by proclaiming the good news, both in word and by deeds. As Dorothy Day was fond of pointing out, that not only do we feed people's bellies, we feed their souls. And so we are called to live into this life that Jesus has called us to, not just to when it's convenient or because, you know, another, you know, evangelist has predicted another new date, but always. Now, I'm sure it was people in that time were as easily distracted as we are. The thing is that we have just a lot more gadgets to do so. And, you know, just that everyday life, you know, that gets in the way, because, you know, we're thinking about paying our bills, if we have children at home, you know, making sure they're cared for or preparing them for, you know, life, you know, college and all that other such. Life gets awfully hectic at times, and that's why we have one another to remind us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that it is coming. And so we are called to come together to support, to remind, to encourage, to lift each other up so that we don't forget what it is that Christ is calling us to do. So my sisters and brothers, following the example of such wonderful people as Dorothy Day, Peter Morin, Mother Teresa, and the numerous people who have come before us. You know, last week we had All Saints and All Souls, where we remembered both saints, big S and small S, as we were talking with the kids. But we continue the work that they began, making sure that we're always full, you know, our little flasks are full of oil and that our wicks are always burning and that we are ready to usher in the new age, to call Jesus when he arrives, to prepare our hearts, our minds, and bodies, but at the same time, helping others to see the light. So my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to make sure your oil stocks are full, to keep your lamps up high, and to always be prepared.